Welcome to our Sunday evening service here on 26 April 2020. Appreciate you joining us as we look into the book of Job. Tonight is our final night in Job, and it's a real blessed truth found here in this passage. So we'll be looking at verses 7 to 17 in Job 42, if you want to turn in your Bibles with me. And again, this is our final sermon in Job. So next week on Sunday nights, we begin a new series on the minor prophets. And what will make this a bit unique from typical series is we're not going to do them in Bible order. We're going to do them in chronological order, the order that they were given. So our first series will be on the book of Joel in the Old Testament, the book of Joel. So we'll start a new series on the minor prophets tonight, beginning in Job chapter 42, verse 7. The Bible says, "And it was so that after the Lord had spoken these words unto Job, the Lord said, Eliphaz the Temanite, my wrath is kindled against thee and against thy two friends, for ye have not spoken of me that thing that is right, as my servant Job hath. Therefore take unto you now 7 bullocks and 7 rams, and go to my servant Job, and offer up for yourselves a burnt offering, and my servant Job shall pray for you. For him will I accept, lest I deal with you after your folly, and that ye have not spoken for me the thing which is right, like my servant Job." So Eliphaz the Temanite, and Bildad the Shuhite, and Zophar the Naamathite, went and did according as the Lord commanded them, and the Lord also accepted Job. And the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Also the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Then came there unto him all his brethren, and all his sisters, and all that they had been of his acquaintance before, and did eat bread with him in his house. And they bemoaned him, and comforted him over all the evil that the Lord had brought upon him. Every man also gave him a piece of money, and every one an earring of gold. So the Lord blessed the latterin of Job more than his beginning. For he had 14,000 sheep and 6,000 camels, and 1,000 yoke of oxen and 1,000 she-asses. He had also 7 sons and 3 daughters. And he called the name of the first Jemima, and the name of the second Keziah, and the name of the third Keren-Happuch, and in the land where no women found so fair as the daughters of Job. And their father gave them inheritance among their brethren. After this lived Job 140 years, and saw his sons and his sons' sons even 4 generations. So Job died, being old and full of days. So tonight we're looking at the final chapter in Job. Our title of our message is Offering and Intercession. Let's pray. Lord, I pray for you to use your word now in our lives as we look into it together. Thank you so much for Job and all it has taught us. I pray that we would learn these things and live them, Lord, and trust you when we find ourselves in trials. We love you, and we commit this time to you. May the Holy Ghost guide us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So what a beautiful thing happened here in Job. As we see, God blessed him after all this trial that he went through. But before that, God had some words for Job's supposed friends that had come to supposedly comfort him, but instead had come to accuse him. And here we find out that the things that they had been saying were not accurate. They were not right, because God says so himself. And what they had basically been putting forward for chapter after chapter was this modern-day philosophy that's still around called prosperity theology. And the thinking is this, that if you're right with God, everything will be wonderful, you'll be healthy, you'll be rich. If you're having problems, it's because you're not right with God. And it sounds good, and it fits in with kind of the Eastern religions of karma, but it's just not accurate, as we see in Job. God promises that his children will have trials. They can be completely right with him and be going through the most intense trials, because that is what we need often to grow and to be refined and to be conformed to the image of his son. And as Job said, "Though they have tried me, I shall come forth as gold." And so they had put forward this basic philosophy, and they were wrong. And God told them they were wrong. And he says there in verse 7, "Against thy two friends, for ye have not spoken of me the thing that is right." In other words, the things that you've been saying are not accurate. As a matter of fact, in verse 8, God referred to it as folly. He says that it is folly, the things that they have been saying. And so then Job tells his friend, the Lord tells Job's friends to go to Job and have Job pray for them, to intercede for them, if you will, and also to offer up offerings for their sin. So God wanted them to understand that sacrifice and intercession, and remember this is way before the times of Moses and the law, but early on here God is teaching man that sacrifice and intercession are necessary to prevent God dealing with us how we need dealt with. And as the Bible says, God had not dealt with us after our sins. And if he did, we'd all go to hell. But he wanted them to understand that sacrifice and intercession are required. So for us here in the New Testament, we understand this. We have the sacrifice of our wonderful Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. It says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. And in Hebrews 10:14, for by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. One offering. Through the offering of Jesus Christ, we are now perfected. And intercession, who is it? Jesus. Romans 8:34. It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. So Jesus is our intercessor, as we understand. And then if you would look at Hebrews 7:25, again, we'll see that Jesus Christ is our intercessor. He is the one who sacrificed for us. And way back in the time of Job, God was teaching men, even at that time, that sacrifice and intercession are required. Hebrews 7:25, it says, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Jesus ever lives to intercede for us. There is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus, 1 Timothy 2:5. So he wanted man to understand that sacrifice and intercession are required. So verse 9 of our passage, Eliphaz the Temanite and Bildad the Shuhite and Zophar the Naamathite went and did according as the Lord commanded them. The Lord also accepted Job. So God accepted the intercessory prayer of Job. And the Bible tells us that he accepts the intercession of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So in this instance, Job is picturing Jesus. Ephesians 2:18 says, for through him, talking about Jesus, we have access by one Spirit into the Father. And Hebrews 10:19, we have boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. So God accepted Job's prayer, his intercession, and therefore did not punish Job's friends according to what they deserved for all the wrong things they had been speaking to God's servant Job. Then the beautiful ending of the story of Job. Chapter after chapter of suffering and attacks from his friends. We get to the end in verse 10, the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. So when Job was still having the health issues, the boils, he had still lost everything, and yet he took the time to go and to intercede and to pray for the very people that had been attacking him. Does it sound familiar? And so Job again pictures Jesus Christ as he was hanging on Calvary saying, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Here's Job praying for the very ones who had been attacking him and blaming him and saying his children deserve to die and so forth. Praying for them, interceding for them, and the Bible says God accepted this intercession. But as he was praying for his friends, he didn't know what God was going to do. He didn't know that God was going to bless him. For all he knew, God was going to take him on to heaven at the end of this suffering session. But instead, the Bible says, he turned the captivity when he prayed. So as he's praying for others, God chose to now bless him double. And think about what God is teaching us here, how important it is that we be praying for one another, that we execute our priestly office that we've been given as Christians. And it may be that the more that we pray for others, we're asking for God's blessings upon us from the other direction. We are priests. We are here to be praying one for another. Let's look at Ephesians 6:18 and see this. And if you're a born-again Christian, one of the new offices that God has assigned to you is to be a priest, and what that means is to intercede for your brothers and sisters in Christ. Ephesians 6:18, praying always with all prayer and supplication of the Spirit, watching thereto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Every time that we pray for our brothers and sisters, we are interceding for them. We are beseeching the throne of Almighty God on behalf of someone else, executing the office of the priesthood. And then if you go to 1 Peter chapter 2, we'll see this again, that God makes it very clear that we are priests as born-again Christians. Look at verse 7. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. Actually, I wanted you to look at verse 5. Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices. So we are a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices. And then down in verse 9, ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. That's us. We are part of the royal priesthood. We are here to beseech God's throne on behalf of our brothers and sisters in Christ. Praise God. Job here is picturing Jesus. He's also picturing a Christian executing this office of the priesthood. And while he's praying for his friends who had been attacking him, God chose to then turn around and bless him physically. Verse 11, there came then unto him all his brethren and his sisters and all that had been acquaintance and did eat bread with him in his house, and they bemoaned him and comforted him over all the evil the Lord had brought upon him. Every man also gave him a piece of money, and every one an earring of gold. Verse 12, so the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning. Now, if you look at these numbers here in verse 12, notice it says 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, 1,000 yoke of oxen, and 1,000 she-asses. If you go back to Job chapter 1, you'll see that Job had exactly half that many stock. He had 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, and 500 she-asses. God gave him exactly double of these physical possessions, which all this stock would have represented wealth in old time Bible days. And so God chose to bless him double as far as material things go. And then God gave him the same number of sons and daughters that he had before. If you look back in Job chapter 1, the Bible says he had seven sons and three daughters. And at the very end, God gave him another seven sons and another three daughters. And then he already had all these other children. Then God allowed him to live long enough to see, it says, unto the fourth generation. After the second round of children, God allowed him to live another 140 years. But remember, this is a long time ago, when man still lived a long time. And so go to James chapter 5, where God recounts this beautiful reversal for us. Notice James chapter 5, and down in verse 11, the Bible says, behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. So God is actually saying, I want you to learn something from Job. Now, we can learn a lot of things from Job, and we have. But here God is specifically saying, I want you to learn to endure. You're going to have trials. Psalms 34:19, many are the afflictions of the righteous. The Bible goes on to say, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. We're going to have afflictions. God says, endure. Learn from Job to endure the trial no matter what comes your way. Endure. You've heard the patience of Job. And we just read over these past months about Job's willingness to wait on the Lord, to say, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. And just be patient and see what the Lord has planned. And as it goes on to say, James 5:11, that the end of the Lord, that he's very pitiful and of tender mercy. My friend, it doesn't matter how intense your trial is. Heaven is still your home if you're born again. You're still going to spend forever with Jesus. And as Paul said in Romans 8:18, I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Hallelujah. So God has promised, if you go to Psalm 30 and verse 5, very simple but beautiful truth, that if we'll just wait on the Lord, the Bible says, be of good courage and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Notice Psalm 30 and verse 5, where the Bible says, his anger endureth but for a moment. In his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. You don't know when this trial is going to end, but it will end. You've heard of the patience of Job. Endure. And if the end of this particular trial is heaven, Isn't that great? But endure, wait, trust the Lord, and know that joy cometh in the morning. That no matter how bad the trial is, it will end. And God has taught us some amazing lessons from the book of Job. But isn't it great that we can read the end of the story and see that even though he went through so much suffering, probably more suffering than any human being outside of Christ as the God-man, in the end God blessed him with twice as much wealth, his restored health, and 10 children again. And he got to see his great-great-grandchildren. Isn't that just beautiful? Or his great-grandchildren, sorry. Maybe great-great. Anyway, fourth generation. So, hallelujah for Job being willing to offer and intercede for his friends in the midst of his pain and suffering, willing to execute this priesthood office which we've all been assigned. And while he's interceding for them, God chooses to now come in and bless him like never before. You've seen the end of the Lord, that he's pitiful and of tender mercy. That is our God. Keep praying for your brothers and sisters. You might be suffering. Keep praying for your brothers and sisters. You might have been suffering a long time. It might be tense. Intense. Just wait. You've seen the end of the Lord. He blesses those which endure. So wait. Wait on the Lord. And see what he has planned for you. And what's around the corner might be twice as good as what you could ever expect. It might be exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think. You don't know. But we do know we can trust him. We do know that whatever he allows in our lives, after you've suffered a while, he'll make you perfect, establish and strengthen and settle you. 1 Peter 5:10. We can know that. We can know that our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17. We can know these things because God told us. So wait on the Lord. See, and just sit and wait and see what he has to offer at the end of the trial. If it's heaven, so be it. If it's twice as much as before, praise God. We don't know, but wait. In the meantime, just keep doing right, trusting God, and praying for your brothers and sisters in Christ. Thank you so much for joining us this evening as we finish this wonderful book. Job said, "The Lord gave and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." May that always be our attitude. No matter what happens in my life, I'm going to keep worshiping and praising the Lord. And if I'm in the midst of a trial, though when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Keep that attitude no matter what comes. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this beautiful truth from Job. I pray that we'll take from this how important it is that we execute our priestly office and pray for each other. And also, Lord, that we wait on you no matter what the trial, knowing that you have a reason and a plan for it. So may we trust you and wait on you and watch you work and know that the end of the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. Thank you. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. See you Wednesday night at 7:00.